Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you're not currently affiliated with a community, church, or synagogue and would like to be part of the larger Beth Emmanuel family, you can apply for long-distance membership at BethEmmanuel.org/membership.
When you go to light the Hanukkah, the Hanukkah candles, you light the Hanukkah candles just after dark, just after the sun has set, just after dark, it's time for lighting the Hanukkah, but not on Erev Shabbat. On Erev Shabbat, Friday night, you light the Hanukkah before candle lighting time. And candle lighting time comes about 20 minutes before sunset, before the Sabbath comes on. So on Friday afternoon, you are lighting the Hanukkah for Friday night well before dark has come. Why is that? Well, because there is a prohibition on making a fire on the Sabbath. As we know, we light the Sabbath candles. We light Sabbath candles prior to the onset of the Sabbath in order to safeguard the prohibition on creating a fire on the Sabbath. And this reminds me that there is a close connection between candle lighting for Sabbath candles and the Hanukkah lighting. For example, both candle lighting and the lighting of the Hanukkah, both of these acts are prefaced with the bracha, blessed are you, Hashem, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to kindle the Sabbath lamp, or who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to kindle the Hanukkah lamps. Now, what's interesting, so they're very similar blessings, but it's more than that. What's really interesting about this is that there is no commandment to kindle a Sabbath lamp, and there is no commandment to kindle a Hanukkah lamp. But as the Talmud says, both of these are based on the commandment for the Jewish people to obey the authority of the Jewish court, Deuteronomy 17, and that the court ruled that lights should be kindled before Shabbat in order to safeguard the prohibition on creating a fire on the Sabbath, so not on Shabbat, and that the Hanukkah lights, the Hanukkah lamps, should be lit to celebrate the miracle of the events of the Hanukkah revolution. So it's a similarity between Sabbath lamps and Hanukkah lamps. Another similarity between the Sabbath lamps and the Hanukkah lamps is that both of them symbolize, of course, light dispelling darkness. The Sabbath lamp symbolizes the light of redemption because it symbolizes the beginning of the Sabbath, the onset of the Messianic era, the light of Messiah, the light of the seventh day, the kingdom, dispelling darkness of this present world, dispelling the darkness of the kingdom of darkness, the darkness of the exile, this broken world of shattered vessels, and likewise, similarly, the Hanukkah lamp symbolizes the light of the temple restored. And the Hanukkah lamps symbolize, they memorialize the miracles of the defeat of tyranny and Antichrist and Antiochus and the light in the darkness at the darkest time of the year. And each night of Hanukkah, we light an additional light and the light grows and it increases and it grows brighter and brighter. The Torah portion, Vayeshev, tells the story of descent into darkness. We have the story of Joseph, how Joseph was hated by his brothers, sold, betrayed, sold into slavery, goes down into Egypt, works as a slave in Egypt, is falsely accused, ends up in prison as a prisoner. Jacob's story, the darkness of Jacob's story, is bereaved of his beloved son. He says, I'll go down to Sheol. My gray head will go down to Sheol in mourning for Joseph. And Judah's story, Judah, who's responsible in part for the betrayal of his brother, and he marries a Canaanite, and the death of his wife, and the death of his first son, the death of his second son, he learns to grieve as he caused his father grief, and ultimately, the shame of his union with Tamar, his daughter-in-law. No good news in this Torah portion. It's all dark. Dark things happening. It's all dark. But what's happening? A certain midrash regarding our Torah portion says, the fathers of the tribes were busy selling Joseph. Jacob was busy with his sackcloth and fasting. Judah was busy taking a wife. Meanwhile, the Holy One, blessed be He, what was He doing? He was busy creating the light of Messiah. Where is the light of Messiah in this story in our Torah portion? The light of Messiah in our Torah portion is the birth of Tamar's son Perez, who will become an ancestor of Messiah and carry on the line of Messiah. And here is the little bit of light in the darkness. And also in the Joseph story. You know, the Joseph story is encouraging on so many levels, but in the midst of darkness, Joseph was able to maintain this spirit of faith and optimism. Even as a slave, Joseph becomes a slave. He's sold as a slave. He says, well, I'm going to be the best slave I can be. Not working for Potiphar, but working for Hashem. Tempted by sexual temptation, Joseph is unwavering, keeping his eyes fixed only on God. He says, how could I sin against God? As a prisoner, he finds himself as a prisoner, and then he doesn't go into depression. Instead, he's like, I'm going to be the best prisoner I can be. The thing with Joseph is he never lets his circumstances dictate his experience. Rather, he remains God-centered and God-focused in the midst of darkness. And somehow, even though he's no longer in the land of promise, and for all appearances, he's no longer going to be an heir of the promises, he never let his faith waver. He was able to carry the light and the knowledge of Hashem and the light of his hope in Hashem into the darkness of his circumstance and remain not only steadfast, but remain as a light and a witness and a testimony to those around him, thereby illustrating our Master's words about a light, shining our light before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. And in the darkness of prison with Joseph, there was a light. And Hanukkah should remind us of all of these themes, and every Shabbat as well. The idea of Shabbat is that of spiritual recharge. 6 days of darkness, we endure 6 days of the profane world, the normal world. And during the 6 days, we're part of this present world. Maybe we're not of the world, but we're part of the present world. But on the seventh day, we enter the kingdom. And we enter the world to come, so to speak, in order to recharge our light and to bring a little bit of that light back with us into the rest of the week. In the past, we've learned about Sarah's Sabbath lamp. Remember Sarah's Sabbath lamp. Sarah would light her Sabbath lamp on Friday night. She'd light the Sabbath lamp, and miracle of miracles, the oil in the lamp would last all the way through the week to the next Friday. It would last 8 days. And then it would go out on the eighth day. And then she would have to relight the lamp for the next Sabbath. But the point of the story of, you know, the story of Sarah's Sabbath lamp, what's going on here? The lesson of the Sabbath lamp that burned through the week, from week to week, the oil that lasted 8 days, is that we take the light of the Sabbath and we use it to illuminate the rest of the week, the rest of the other 6 days of the week, as we go from Sabbath to Sabbath. That's the point of the story of Sarah's Sabbath lamp that burned through the week. And of course, this corresponds then to the light of the Hanukkah, which celebrates the miracle of the oil that lasted for 8 days. I can't tell you how important it is to light Sabbath candles. It's so important to light. For a Jewish person, of course, it's so important to light Sabbath candles. It's not just a woman's obligation. If there's no woman present in the household, you're maybe not married or something, you still have the obligation to light the Sabbath candles if you're Jewish. And even if you're a Gentile, you don't say who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to light the Sabbath lamps, but you still light the Sabbath lamps. You can still light the Sabbath lamp. Your mother Sarah lit the Sabbath lamp. You still light the Sabbath lamp, and you say the words, may the light of our Master Yeshua shine in all worlds. And we light the Sabbath lamp at the candle lighting time, 20 minutes or so before the Sabbath begins. It's so important because it teaches us about what happens on the Sabbath when we enter into the holiness and we enter into the blessing and we set aside time for the study of Torah. That's what happens on the Sabbath. Set aside time for the study of God's word. This is a lamp and a light. It's thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We have extra time on the Sabbath to study the Torah. time that we don't have in the rest of the week. We have extra time on the Sabbath to study God's word and extra time to spend in prayer, leisure time that we don't have the rest of the week when we're working for Potiphar all week long and resisting Potiphar, his wife, all week long. But on the Sabbath, there's rest, and we find rest and recharge like I always use the illustration of the glow-in-the-dark, the plastic glow-in-the-dark that has to be recharged in the light so that it can glow and cast its light in the dark. And our world needs light. The story from San Bernardino is an example of this darkness, this growing darkness. What could be darker than a terrorist attack? Senseless death. Senseless tragedy. But there was a spot of light. Nicholas Thalassinos, age 52, one of the victims of that attack, according to the early press reports, he was a Messianic Jew. Actually, he wasn't a Messianic Jew. He was a Gentile believer practicing Messianic Judaism like so many of us. But we don't expect the media to know the difference. In any case, they reported he's Messianic. And a co-worker of the terrorist, Saeed Farouk. And 2 weeks before the attack, the story said, he'd been sharing his faith and convictions with Farouk and arguing with him, defending the state of Israel, defending the Jewish people, arguing about whether or not Islam is actually a religion of peace or not. This is what the press reports were saying. And it's very probable, it turns out, that Thalassinos, this Messianic Gentile, was not just a victim of the terrorist attack, but he was also the target of the terrorist attack. Now, I know that doesn't sound very encouraging. It doesn't sound like light in the darkness, but here's the light. Nicholas Thalassinos, regardless of who he was or exactly what he was, is now a hero of the kingdom, one who died for his convictions, a martyr for his faith, and the world takes note. There are no accidents with God. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of our Father in heaven. This is yet another opportunity for the Messianic Jewish community to speak light into the darkness. And the darkness, as we know, grows heavier as we tumult towards the end times and towards the final confrontation, which is really, to me, what Hanukkah, that's the story of Hanukkah, is about the darkness of Antichrist. Hanukkah is a story of the darkness of Antichrist, and it's a story of resisting assimilation, which is what Antichrist is all about, that we should turn away from the Torah, turn away from the scriptures, turn away from those things that set us apart from the secular world. The story of Hanukkah illustrates the idea that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And this is what Sabbath is supposed to do as well. The Sabbath every week reminds us that we are not part of the mundane world. Rather, we belong to holiness. We are not children of this world. We are children of the kingdom, sons and daughters of the Almighty, sons and daughters of the kingdom of heaven. Joseph went down into Egypt, but Joseph did not become an Egyptian. He maintained his identity. He says, I am a Hebrew, taken from the land of the Hebrews, serving the God of the Hebrews. The greatest threat to us, the greatest threat to the existence of the Jewish people today is not terrorism. It's not ISIS. It's not anti-Semitism. It's not Iran's nuclear program. The greatest threat to the existence of the Jewish people today is assimilation. And that's the greatest threat to the disciples of Yeshua as well. It's forgetting who we are and becoming part of the world around us. It's forgetfulness, that we would forget our convictions, that we would forget the things that set us apart. We would forget holiness. We would forget the Torah. We would forget about the knowledge of Hashem. Hanukkah was about more than just defiling the temple. The defiling of the temple, of course, was painful. Setting up the abomination of desolation in the temple and the sacrificing the swine and all these things in the Hanukkah story. And the persecution was painful. But the most painful thing to the Jewish people was the law imposed against the study of the Torah. That the Torah was taken away. That the Torah was forbidden. And so the victory cry of the Maccabees was, the rallying cry was, everyone who is faithful to the testimony in the Torah, let him come with me. So on the Sabbath, I'm talking about Torah study. We have the time to hear the Torah. We have the time to learn the Torah and Bible study in general. Bible study, learning the scriptures. This is the kindling of the light. This is the we should be increasing. Hanukkah reminds us we should be increasing our study. We should be increasing in our thirst for the knowledge of Hashem, which is why we study. You know why we study? Because we study because it's the knowledge of God. It's the messianic era. It's the promise of the kingdom. The promise of the kingdom is that the knowledge of God will fill the earth. And so Hanukkah reminds us of this objective that the light of Jerusalem, the light of Zion, the knowledge of God is to fill the earth, and all the nations will walk by its light. And so at Hanukkah, we increase the light and we study more. We learn more, not less. Judaism regards study as the highest form of worship. These are the commandments that have a reward in this world and in the world to come. And the study of the Torah is equivalent to them all. The study of the Torah, connected, it's opposite them all. It corresponds to all of them. It undergirds all of our deeds. The study of Torah is equivalent to all the worship of Hashem and the service of Hashem, because it brings knowledge of God into this world and it leads to doing. It leads to the deed. The deed is based upon it. The mitzvah is a lamp. The light that it shines is the Torah. The light that shines from the Hanukkah, and you light the Hanukkah, and you see the candles burning. The light that shines from the Hanukkah is the light of the menorah. That is the light of the menorah that burned in God's house. It's holy light. We're not permitted to make ordinary use of it. Tradition says that the light of the Hanukkah lamps is holy, and it can't be used for any ordinary purpose. What makes it so holy? Why can't you use the light of the Hanukkah menorah, the Hanukkah, to illuminate your home? I mean, when you light a Hanukkah menorah, I don't know if you know this or not, you're not even supposed to use the light for any ordinary purpose. I would have assumed that the best way that I could possibly keep the spirit of Hanukkah would be to put out the other lights in the house, maybe shut off the other lights and just, light that Hanukkah and its warm glow, and maybe you sit down and use the light of the Hanukkah to read the Psalms or something like this, or, to read the Bible. But Jewish tradition states that you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to use the Hanukkah light for anything. Not for anything except for decoration. It's for decoration and for enjoyment. It's just there to look pretty. Why? Well, you know the story. When the Hasmonean freedom fighters, called the Maccabees, drove the wicked Seleucids out of Jerusalem, they seized the temple, threw down the idols, cleansed the temple of idols, and they dismantled the profaned altar. They built a new altar, and they also had to build a new menorah. And they built a makeshift menorah, and then they looked around for oil, and they only had one day's supply of holy oil to burn in the menorah. They couldn't use just ordinary oil. They had to use holy oil that was ritually pure. And it was going to take them 8 days to procure new oil. But miraculously, even though they had one day's supply of oil, they decided to light the Hanukkah, to light the menorah anyway. And miraculously, the light burned for 8 days. The oil lasted for 8 days. And so we light this Hanukkah in memory, as a memorial of the miracle of the light of the menorah that burned for 8 days. The eight lights of the Hanukkah proclaim the miracle of Hanukkah. And so if we use their light, if we use the light of a Hanukkah for something else, we're completely misusing it. This is why it's important to have a Shamash candle, that ninth candle that's burning there. It's the ninth light. It provides ordinary light that can be used for ordinary things. But you aren't even supposed to use the Hanukkah lights to light one another. Instead, you use the Shamash candle, that ninth lamp, for that. So why this? Why are the eight lamps so holy? Because the light that's coming from those eight Hanukkah lamps is spiritually and symbolically connected to the light of the menorah that burned in the temple. And the light of the menorah that burned in the temple was a holy light. That was God's light. I'll give you another example to bring this home. Jewish tradition prohibits creating or using or lighting a seven-branch menorah. I mean, you see seven-branch menorahs, but if you see a seven-branch menorah, you should just know that that's not kosher. It's not kosher because the seven-branch menorahs is supposed to be for the temple. You know, the Torah prohibits us from making things that are supposed to be used for the temple, like the priestly garments. You're not supposed to make the priestly garments, unless, except for the temple. It prohibits us from weaving together linen and wool mixtures that were used in the tabernacle for our own personal use in fabrics. The Torah prohibits us from making the incense according to the recipe in the Torah that's just for the tabernacle, just for the temple. It prohibits us from making the anointing oil, the recipe that's in the Torah for the anointing oil. That's forbidden. It's just for the temple because it's holy. These are holy things. And for the same reason, we're not supposed to make a seven-branched menorah. That's God's lamp. It's not our lamp. On the other hand, there's absolutely no prohibition on making an eight-branched lamp or a nine-branch lamp, if you like. So in this way, the eight lights of the Hanukkah function as a substitute for the menorah. Not only do they remember the miracle of the oil that burned in the menorah for 8 days, they symbolize the light of the menorah, the holy light of the presence of God. So that is to say, when you light the Hanukkah, it's as if in a small way you are relighting the temple menorah. And that makes the light of the Hanukkah holy in the same sense that the light of the menorah was holy and not supposed to be used for any ordinary use, not supposed to be used for any normal use, profane use. And that's why after we're lighting the Hanukkah, we say, for all 8 days of Hanukkah, these lights are holy. We're not permitted to use them for ordinary light, but only to look at them in order to thank and praise your great name for your miracles, for your wonders, and for your salvation. So you think about it, that's an amazing privilege to be able to bring the light of the temple into our own homes. You might not be a Kohen or a Levite or even Jewish, but by lighting the Hanukkah, you get the privilege of performing a priestly function and the privilege of bringing the light of God's house into your home. That's amazing. It's an awesome privilege. It's holy light. We're not permitted to make any ordinary use of it. It's holy light. And this illustrates our relationship with the Sabbath as well. The Sabbath is holy time. You know, the Sabbath lights that we light, they're not, the light that comes from the Sabbath lights isn't holy in the same sense as the light that comes from the Hanukkah, because the Sabbath lights don't represent the menorah. They don't represent the light of the temple in the way that the Hanukkah does. The Sabbath lights are there. They're supposed to be used to illuminate the house. They're supposed to be used for lighting up the room. Not so the Hanukkah. Because the Hanukkah is this, it's holy light. Just like the Sabbath is holy time. The Sabbath is set aside for God. The Sabbath is, the seventh day is God's day. That's the seventh day. The menorah, the seventh branch menorah is set aside for God. It's God's lamp. But the Hanukkah allows us to bring the light of God's house into our homes. And likewise, the Sabbath allows us to bring the menucha, the blessing of God's day of rest, and the holiness of God's holy day into our world. And our job then is to bring that light into the normal mundane world, that light which is the knowledge of God, the blessing of God, and the light of Messiah. Te aceltas bata en alma veras, and I world broke the soul when our own strength failed us, and I world broke the soul when our
strength there.